I'm Spring.
I'm Joe.
And we are here to bring you stories of history, mystery, conspiracies, and creatures. And just sometimes just some weird, bizarre shit that we find.
I mean, that's pretty much all of it, but...
I like to pretend I'm mixing it up with, like, you know, some other little hook.
Well, I mean, and essentially it's all just weird shit we find, whether it is just weird history or... The fun myths and such. I always like me a cryptid, but I'm trying to branch out. So I got a fun one today that isn't a cryptid. So
ooh,
yeah. All right. So anyone who is new here, we normally do rock paper scissors. We are still remote. Things have been busy with the kids and the end of the year coming up and all that jazz. So,
yeah, it's been a pain in the hinder.
So, sorry for the late release, but so instead of our regular rock, paper, scissors, we are holding up paper.
So paper always wins.
Right, paper always wins, yeah. We're holding up our little signs with rock, paper, or scissors. So let me take a look here.
Yeah, which one are you going for?
I got it. Okay.
All right, so...
All right, you ready, Spring?
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissor, shoot.
Oh. Oh, we're tied. Oh, all right. Okay.
All right, all right.
Rock, paper, scissors. Oh, you saw mine first. Okay, no. Are you doing the same thing again, too?
Down.
Well, now yours. We're tied again, just upside down. All right.
All right, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ha! I beat you this time.
I didn't think you'd go with paper three times in a row. That's not fair.
No one ever expects it.
Not the triple paper.
Ah, finally, get my crown back.
Just don't get used to it.
All right. So I've been having some fun with some Mesopotamian mythology lately. Not on the show, but just... listening to a fun book that was interesting. So I like some of their weird creation myths, or at least just their, like, how the world kind of got to be the way it is.
They're fun.
And so, yeah, it is pretty fun. So there's Anu is, like, the king, basically, like, king of all the gods. And then Enlil is his son. And Enlil kind of, like, all the gods, or all the big gods, like them, they all kind of have some of their own hand in creating things. But Enlil had created sheep and grain. And they have an interesting back and forth. So we'll go back a little bit. Basically, heaven and earth, it all once shared the same big hill. Kind of odd.
Okay.
And then things kind of started to flesh out. Anu had created the Tigris and the Euphrates, and started to populate things with animals, and they had made some humans. They essentially made humans to be, like, workers. I'll do the creation myth for humans one of these days. It's kind of a weird one. But so there's like, some lesser gods and humans, and they're all hanging out. And they're all hanging out just, like, naked and with no regular, like, no modern food. These things just hadn't been invented yet. Yeah, and so they just kind of did without, and they did just fine. They didn't know what clothes were, and bad weather really hadn't been invented yet either, so it was okay. And So, and they, the humans, the gods didn't need to eat, but the humans just kind of like ate the grass with their teeth like they were sheep, basically. And
it makes
so
sense.
Eventually the gods were like, we need to do better by our humans and they'll, you know, work better for us. So, and Anu saw that this existence was very undignified. And so they all set out to create a richer life for them. And the gods created some new inventions to come down to Earth, and they tested them out to see if they're good enough for the humans and safe, and so that they would be more productive. And so they created grain and sheep. These were their first two like inventions to set out to the world. They baked the bread, or baked the grain into bread, and roasted the sheep. And they're like, we don't need to eat, but man, this is pleasurable. It's awesome. And they knew that this would be good to nourish their human creations. They milked the sheep as well and discovered that this was also a delicious, nourishing drink. For before, they had only ever had water or fermented juices, meaning wine. I don't know why. Like, before you ever milked anything, you knew what wine was. I like it.
Because you had rotten food that you, you know, fruit that you picked and you just had it. And you're like, well.
True, but you're mammals.
Try it out.
You've sucked on a titty before.
No.
Mammals?
Well,
milk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, true milk.
The look on your face was like, wait, where did titties come?
Yes, I was a boob baby. Okay, you got me.
Okay. So they decided, let's push these down to Earth and we'll see how the humans do with them. And so the humans woke up one day and a field of grain had grown overnight, and there were these woolly little creatures eating the grass. And so the sheep would keep their area of grass trimmed, and they provided meat, and their wool was spun into clothing, and the grain provided warm bread to break at dinner. All in all, it was good. And as things kind of progressed, they became more and more skilled at maximizing these gifts to benefit everyone. And their mastery was helped along by companion divinities. These, there was one for the grain and one for the sheep, respectively. And actually, that was their name. Grain was the grain was the goddess of grain, and sheep was the goddess of sheep. And each would reside among their namesake. Grain would sway in the field, basking in the sun, and bless the grain around her. Whereas sheep would sit among the flocks and keep them safe and healthy. And the gods were pleased to see them and the humans thrive together. And so one evening, Grain had taught the humans how to ferment this grain into sweet beer. And after the humans went to bed, or passed out. I'm thinking like timelines, or like, you know, just the general passage of time works really differently, because they talk about beer in the past tense this night, but we'll pass that. So anyways, they are enjoying their new invention of beer as well, and they're just taking a walk through the fields, sharing the first batch of beer, and they start to get a little bit tipsy. And
as one does, yeah.
Grain had gotten a little bit cocky, some might say drunk on her own power, and she started saying that she was the superior one, as she can coax life from the earth itself, like just talking shit, really. And that her bountiful harvest was far more important to their beloved people. She took great offense to this and strongly disagreed, obviously. Grain continued that the bread that is baked and the beer that is made with her produce, she can make peace between enemies and strangers into friends. Youth can be taught to be farmers and gain new identity as farmers, or can be taught to farm and gain new identity as farmers. She proclaimed that she is the daughter of Enlil and that sheep is nothing to her. At this, she was satisfied and took a large gulp of beer. Well, now it was sheep's turn. She reminded the belligerent Grain that she too was a daughter of Enlil. And Grain conceded. She reminded Grain that from her creation, men could make both meat and milk, and the wool could be made into clothing. And she asked, would you have mankind running around naked again? Maybe it was the beer, but Grain started to grin and said, "Well, don't answer that," Sheep said disapprovingly. She said, "From the skin of my wares, flasks are made which men take to war, and the oils with which they give thanks to the gods." Sheep added, "There's no comparison between the flocks I provide and the crops you yield. Yours is important, but mine is indispensable." Mm-hmm. And it continued, Grain took another swig of her beer and said, "Look at the banquets that are thrown. You provide one sheep with which each gets but a mouthful of meat. Yet look at the rest of the table. It is sagging with the weight of the loaves of bread and the pitchers of beer. Let us examine the strength of the goods. My grain grows strong and hearty and will always yield a crop. Your animals must be watched and counted each night. A sickness may spread and affect the whole herd. An adder in the bush may easily be their end." And Sheep, deciding to put this argument finally to bed, and maybe Grain, reminds Grain that at the end of the night, both are meant to be consumed. When grain is harvested, it is dried and beaten. Sheep is shorn, milked, and butchered, and roasted. It is the way things will always be. First and second place are equal in this race.
Damn straight.
Right. So this larger perspective had sobered Grain, literally. And she agreed it was settled, and the gods laughed, had been watching all along and laughed at the spectacle of their argument.
Well, that's because, like, that's like anytime you've ever seen, like, a mascot for some kind of food, and they're promoting themselves to be consumed. That's like the realization moment where they're like, wait a minute, we all get eaten? Like, am I going to get eaten? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no winner here.
Like, wasn't it like good. The frosted, the toasted mini wheats? They actually like, they break the third wall and they're like,
Then same with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And then you look at like, Bumblebee Tuna, and there's like, no, not Bumblebee. There was Starkist Tuna. That's what it was.
Yeah, I was going to say. Tuna's like, not made of bumblebee spring.
No, just according to Jessica Simpson. Wait, that's chicken. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the chicken of the sea.
All right. So, I got a pretty decent one. Is that what?
That's all. So now your turn, Spring.
All right, all right. I'm just so not used to going, like, you know.
Second. Right, I know. It's been a minute, but I don't know. You were there for a long time, so.
I know. It felt good. All right. Mine is called The Other Crazy Lizzie, because we all kind of know about Lizzie Borden. You know, Lizzie Borden had an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks, and when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
No, you didn't. Did you? Did you do Lizzie Borden?
No, not on her.
Okay. I've heard Lizzie Borden a few times on other podcasts. That's why it's like, okay, I don't know.
She is fun. I mean, she's all like, I don't know how that happened, you know? And it's like, I know I'm covered in blood, but, like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, that was a weird one. Where was it? Wasn't that in Minnesota?
I don't know if it was, like, Minnesota or, like, Ohio. I know it wasn't in Wisconsin, but I know it wasn't on a coast.
Yeah, I remember being in the Midwest and thinking, oh, okay, that'd be kind of a fun one to visit.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit more east, though, like Pennsylvania, Ohio kind of. Gotcha. That way. All right, but this is about Lizzie Halliday, and she's the subject I'm talking about because she was born Eliza Margaret McNally, and her family immigrated from Ireland to New York when she was about 3 or 8 years old. It just depends on who you're talking to.
5 years. All right.
I know it's a big gap. So, but in 1894, at the age of 35, she became the first woman in American history to be sentenced to death by the electric chair.
Yeah.
So growing up in the streets of New York,
the important Lizzie was women's first.
Hell yes.
Finally, some representation.
Damn straight, because we can be crazy too. All right.
Sorry, I just had to throw that.
Well, she grew up on the streets of New York, so what do you expect? She had a quick temper and a willingness to fight. Like, she was going to back it up. Her family couldn't handle her because of the quick temper and the willingness to fight. So when she got married in her teens, they didn't stand in her way. They were like, go ahead, take her. Her first husband was a man who went by the name of Charles Hopkins, but his real name was Kettspool Brown. Yeah, Kettspool. I don't even know
Kettspool.
where that even begins with. But anyways, together they had a son, and within 2 years of being married, Charles slash Kettspool was dead, and Lizzie was moving on. Now, the only records I could find about her son talked about how he grew up just as angry as his mother, and he died institutionalized. Okay. That's all I could find about him. There wasn't much more, so I kind of feel bad for the kid.
And his dad's name was Ketzpool.
He was screwed from the beginning. Well, her second husband was a retired aged man named Artemus Brewer, who died less than a year later.
Seeing a pattern.
Yeah, I know. Well, her third husband, Hiram Parkinson, abandoned her less than a year into the marriage. So
He
he
knew what was
got
up.
smart and
They all
booked
have
it.
fun names, too.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't dumb. Well, hold on, you
Yeah,
spoke too soon.
Ketspool, what was it?
Artemis,
Artemis, yeah.
Hiram. All right, but in her grief, she went to a man who had served with her second husband, Artemis, in the war, because they were both like war veterans.
And his
And
name
this
was
guy
Dong
decided.
Jangle Smith.
No, it was close. George Smith. She was just, she wanted vanilla this
His
time. She
middle name was
didn't
Dong Jangle.
want. I can neither confirm or deny that, so we can just go with it if we
Yeah.
want.
Revisionist history in action.
Well, he discovered Lizzie apparently tried to put some arsenic in his tea and tried to kill him. And when it was made clear that George wasn't gonna die, Lizzie panicked and packed up everything that wasn't nailed down and just took off. So he was lucky also. A few years later, she would pop up in Vermont, where she married a man named Charles Plaistel, but dipped out on him in 2 weeks. So she did him a favor and took off.
He was plotting to kill her, so she could recognize it.
Maybe, maybe. Well,
Game recognizes game.
she ended up finding her way into Philadelphia, as most people in the 1890s did, you know, yellow fever. Or no, that's 1790. Anyways, but either way, people find their way into Philadelphia. And she met up with some old family friends who had also immigrated from Ireland. They were called the McQuillans. And they ran a saloon inside of Philadelphia. And with all the money that she had and goods that she acquired from her last two husbands, she decided to start up her own shop, and she changed her name to Maggie Brown. Now, the shop that she had, she decided to burn down for insurance. And she wasn't a very good criminal because she got caught and convicted to 2 years in a federal prison. All right. When she got out, she decided to change her name again, and she went by Lizzie Brown. And Lizzie Brown found a job as a housekeeper on a farm. Her employer was a 70-year-old, twice widowed man, and he had two sons that lived with him, and one of which was mentally disabled. Like, cha-ching, cha-ching. Like, and despite her outbursts of insanity, Paul found it more financially responsible to marry her than to pay her. This time, marriage made Lizzie an arsonist. In early May 1891, she burned down part of the family home. A few weeks later, she burned down one of the large barns and took a whole bunch of horses to the market and sold them, trying to run off. Her and Paul had Halliday had problems because they both claimed that the other one wanted to kill each other. So like Paul would tell his family like, dude, she's crazy, I can't leave her, she'll kill me. And she would tell people like, I can't leave him, he said he'd murder me and hunt me down. So both of them had their own issues with each other. Everybody knew it was toxic. Until one day, Paul came home and to find his house as a pile of ashes. And an emotionless Lizzie told Paul that his disabled son died in the fire trying to get her out. The
Oh, man.
investigation, though, found evidence that was different. They found that he was locked in his room. And when they went to try to find the key, Lizzie had possession of it. Now, there was a website called Irish Central, and in there they said that Lizzie's, or that the son's name was John, and that he actually died at the mill because there was a mill on the farm and that's where she burned him. But either way, she was all like, just letting you know, your
She
house
locked him in some
was,
building and burned him.
and burned him down. Yeah.
Damn.
So, she went to the insane asylum because she was arrested and found crazy. But once she was deemed fit and able to be released, Paul took her back with open arms and he was fine about it. Shortly after, he went missing.
I think he
All
didn't want that
inquiries.
son in the first place.
Yeah. Well, all inquiries about Paul ended with Lizzie saying that he was out of town. And after a while, friends and family were worried and went to the police with their concerns. Police were able to get a search warrant for the farm. And while they were looking for Paul, they came across two bodies of women at in the barn. The bodies were that of Margaret and Sarah McQuillan, the McQuillan family that owned the saloon. Well, apparently, after went to the home asking for Sarah to come to her house to clean up and do chores to earn some extra money, and Sarah turned her down. But then Margaret volunteered to do it instead. Well, Margaret went away and never came back. And Lizzie came back to the house and said, "Hey, I need Sarah. There was an accident. Margaret got hurt. We need to bring you in because she's only wanting to talk to you, Sarah. That's the only one I can bring." The dad was confused, but he agreed to let Sarah go. Or, yeah. And I've seen Sarah as described as the daughter of Margaret. And I've also seen Margaret and Sarah described as sisters. So I think that that's kind of gotten a little muddled with history. Anyways, they found the two women tied and shot inside the barn, and that was those two women. And the cops arrested her. And as she wouldn't say where Paul was. Hold on, I gotta find where I was at in my story here. Lizzie started acting crazy. She was tearing at her clothes, shouting incoherently. It didn't matter. They found Paul underneath the floorboards. He was also shot and tied up and mutilated. She ended up going kind of crazy before trial, where she tried to kill the sheriff's wife by strangling her. She set her own bed on fire. She hung herself with parts of her gown. She refused to eat to the point that they force-fed her a liquid diet through her nostrils.
Dang.
And she also tried to cut her throat and wrist with glass from a window that she broke. The officers claimed that they had to literally chain her to the floor in order to keep her from hurting herself or anybody else.
Right.
She became famous because at the time there was hype all over about Jack the Ripper and Lizzie Borden, and so she was then dubbed the worst woman on earth. And she was found guilty of the death of the two women and sentenced to death herself by the electric chair. But Governor Roswell P. Flower commuted her sentence to life in a mental institution, where she became a model patient. That was until her favorite nurse decided that she wanted to leave and get a different job. Nellie Wicks was found stabbed over 200 times with a pair of scissors. Lizzie went on to live her life and died in 1918, almost 60 years old, of Bright's disease, which is a kidney's disease. And that was it. That was the end of it.
Well, yeah, I would hope. I mean, unless she came back. Damn, though.
What the hell? That is mental disorder 100% of the way. That woman like left a path of destruction, and she was like a
Right.
tornado.
Yeah. Dang.
So she wasn't killed by the electric chair. We'll have to get to the first woman of that, but she was the first to be convicted and sentenced to death on the electric chair. I think that's impressive.
Yeah. It was close, though.
So how do you feel about that one, Joe?
Gotta be careful who you marry.
If she's got a few husbands, you might want to investigate why she has a few husbands, you know?
Yeah.
You
Well,
can
that's
ask
why I think.
questions before you marry people, right? You can ask questions.
I think that's why later it turned into the other the like one husband she left because I think he was gonna kill her. And then the second one, I think there was something to that. She was telling her family he was gonna kill her. They're gonna it's just he got or she got him first.
Well, that's all that I have about that stuff. I think we did pretty well. How do
Well,
you
that was
feel?
fun. I enjoyed it. Love a good true crime story.
Heck yeah. Well, you guys, we'll hope to see you guys next week. Enjoy our show. Remember to like and subscribe and listen on any podcast things. Spread the word. We want more friends.
Yes.
All
And feel
right.
free, again, as usual, feel free to contact us with any questions, comments, or anything at all. So, all right. Have a great week, guys. Bye.
Yep. Bye.